Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
At a time where 52% of women in the UK over 30 don't have any children, you'd think replenishing the population would be a bit of a concern for our politicians. But since the repeal of Roe v. Wade in the US, there's corporate interests who have been foisting pro-abortion messaging on all sorts of people, and mainly to support their bottom line. So it's just that killing babies and keeping women consigned to the workplace is profitable. Morality be damned. Let's look at how big business are pushing abortion on everyone, shall we? Speaking of corporate-sponsored death traps, thanks to our anniversary event, you can go over and watch Bo and Thomas discuss life and death in Formula One, the history of the motorsport. I've never been a big fan, but I'm sure this is very interesting.
They're quite big fans of Formula One, so I imagine it's a really interesting conversation and just the history of it and racing in general, I've got a lot of respect for.
I can't even drive, so they're clearly a lot better than I am. So if we can go to this first video, this is an ad put out by Representative Eric Swalwell of California, another one that was banging Chinese spies and farted on live television. Now he's getting all moral grandstanding about it.
Does everyone have to copy Biden?
So did John Fetterman. He said, MAGA Republicans want women arrested for having an abortion. This is what it looks like. Hashtag lock her up. Number one, nobody's proposed that. They've just said banning abortion and banning abortion doctors. Number two, abortion is evil. But this ad is so hilariously ridiculous, I just have to subject you to it. Let's press play, please.
You're weird.
He is weird.
But cute. Gross.
Mary Anderson?
Yes?
I have a warrant for your arrest.
Arrest for what?
Penal code 243 violation. Unlawful termination of a pregnancy.
You gotta be kidding me.
That is my personal business.
That's for the courts to decide, ma'am. Your medical records have been subpoenaed and Dr. Landry's already in custody.
No, my God, you can't just...
You will have to submit to a physical examination.
What? By who?
No, one's touching
her.
Ma'am, turn around.
Oh my God.
Put your hands behind your back. Now.
Why is this happening? Love you, honey bear.
We're just enforcing the law here.
Elections have consequences. Vote Democrat on November 8th. Stop Republicans from criminalizing abortion everywhere. Protect women's rights and freedom.
Please don't do this. Please.
This just comes across like an oppression fantasy, like The Handmaid's Tale does. Mm-hmm. And it's just so poorly acted and ridiculous. So first of all, the idea that you're going to retroactively criminalize all abortions that were conducted, that's not going to be on the table. It's just no politician has proposed that. Also, the "I was just enforcing the law" line, out of a Californian Democrat that just spent the last 2 years closing every business and church down in the state. Really? Do you think we're that stupid? I know most of the Democrat voters, in fact all of them, are that thick. Do you think most independents and any soft Republicans are dumb enough to say that? Well, unfortunately, I think some of them might be, but all they've got to do is go and fill up their car gas tank and then realize, oh, this is the consequence of Democrat policy, isn't it? So I just thought we'd look at the media response to either of these and see how they're trying to soft sell how stupid this narrative is from the left-wing press. Look at the Independent first. You can see how he was revered. Eric Swalwell's campaign ad on the impact of MAGA abortion bans draws, quote, powerful praise. Rep. Eric Swalwell of California is receiving praise for a campaign video that forecasts the future for families in states where abortion is outlawed. We go to the opposite side, the New York Post, who were obviously censored for the Hunter Biden laptop story and subsequently endorsed Donald Trump. Representative Eric Swalwell was ripped for despicable ad showing woman arrested for abortion. Again, it's just the parallel realities we're seeing. You're seeing the sides cement each other, and it's because this is an irreconcilable moral issue. It's much like the slavery issue, whether or not the Civil War is purely fought for that. Of course, Harry's already gone over that in his hangout on Abraham Lincoln, which you should check out on the website, by the way. But the idea that you can have states' rights over personhood when one group that neighbours you says, that's a human being, and the other group says, no, it isn't, it's my property. You can't have those coexist. It's the same with abortion. You can't have states. You can't have it be a purely state issue. That's why it will kick off at some point, because you cannot have more babies aborted than born in New York, in the black community, and then a couple of states over have it be completely banned because it's a human life. So irreconcilable, and we can see that in the media coverage. But there is a symbiotic relationship between Democrats, corporations, and the abortion industry, unfortunately. If we go to here, is big business the new Democrats, the Democrats' new best friend?
Yes. Without a doubt.
That's quite obvious. I think it's the Uniparty's best friend. It's ironic that they use Mitch McConnell here as the example of Republicans dissenting when old Turtleface himself is definitely in the pocket of the military-industrial complex, but there you go. Parts of the private sector keep dabbling in behaviours like a woke parallel government. That was Senator Mitch McConnell on Monday. Broken clocks are right twice a day and all that. Weighing into the national debate over the role of business in politics. For some, it may seem odd that Republicans and big business are hurling insults and threatening each other. Republicans have, for a century or so, supported a business-friendly policies and free markets, including the right of companies to use their money and clout to influence government policy. The idea that Democrats are not taking corporate donations, when all you have to do is look at Paul Pelosi's stocks.
You only need to look at Democrats' campaigns. Look at all of the big businesses like Facebook, yeah. Microsoft. All of these companies are donating to the Democrats.
Disney, yeah. Well, the New York Times just did a massive expose, and we covered it a little while ago on the website, of which politicians are taking massive corporate donations and have illicit stock dealings. And it was both parties. Mm-hmm. So the idea that it's just, oh, it's Republicans are just pro-business and they're really corrupt. No, it's the Democrats as well. Don't be ridiculous. It might seem more strange to see Democrats teaming up with big business, but Democrats, especially the more progressive members of Congress who made their careers bashing big business and corporate money in politics, may need to rethink their friends too. Big business has become one of the most powerful forces in the country to advance social equity issues. And here we see the mask off moment about how ESGs are moralizing the market as an investment mechanism against the tried old truism, get woke, go broke. They don't enjoy your ability to trade and barter and work freely. They enjoy the ability to create corporations which force you to buy from them, which force your hard-earned profits from your work to go to their ideological causes. It's a trickle-up ideological enforcement scheme. Business is aligned with Republicans when it comes to taxes and regulations because, well, profit. And business is aligned with Democrats on social issues that its customers and employees care about because, well, profit. There you go. It's profitable to care about woke social issues because you'll get lots of investment from massive hedge funds. Now, abortion itself is a very profitable industry, turns out. This piece in Newsweek, the Biden administration apparently puts abortion profits over women's safety. The Biden administration's abortion extremism was on full display when the Food and Drug Administration decided to stop enforcing critical in-person health and safety requirements for the chemical abortion drug mifepristone. The decision puts politics over science, risks women's lives and future fertility, and creates a deadly new market for do-it-yourself abortions online and by mail. This is a disaster in the making for millions of women across America who can now be sold life-ending drugs and abandoned to whatever happens next. Despite the fact that chemical abortion pills have been a factor in the deaths of more than 20 women and millions of unborn children, Biden's FDA not only kept the drugs on the market, but authorized, in effect, a nationwide experiment in do-it-yourself abortions. There was no semblance of an abundance of caution in the FDA's abortion pill announcement.
Like I haven't heard about this, but that's horrifying.
Yeah, there was Vox as well, I believe, that put, or was it Vice, one of the two degenerate outlets, that put out an announcement that said, here's some medicine that's often used on horses that can be used to induce home abortions after Roe v. Wade was repealed in your state. So use horse medicine for abortions. I disavow YouTube using horse medicine for anything. If we can see why, the abortion industry is making an estimated $300 million annually in abortion pill sales, whether or not that's used at home or in clinics. This is from Live Action, of course, but they do include their sources in, and it's all like Guttmacher Institute and things like that, which are pro-abortion sources. So you can quibble with the fact that it's from a pro-life outlet, but they are using the sources from the people that profit from these awful acts. With the advent of the abortion pill and broadening of its accessibility, abortion has become a more lucrative industry. Abortion pill sales gross an estimated $300 million a year, and first trimester surgical abortions gross nearly $200 million annually, according to a recent study. Abortions committed in the second trimester or beyond bring abortion profiteers a minimum of $100 million or more a year. In 2017, there were a total of 862,320 abortions reported by Planned Parenthood's former, quote, special affiliate and research arm, the Guttmacher Institute. Out of that total, Live Action News estimates 761,428 first trimester abortions were committed, including 339,640, which is 39%, chemical abortions using abortion pills, and 421,788 surgical procedures. And God, I can't imagine having your legs up in stirrups and that happening. Like, that just must be... You wonder why so many women have abortion buyer's remorse, because if you're in those stirrups, you must know something you're doing is horrific. I'm sorry, like, it's just you can't live that down. The guilt is almost too much to admit. Guttmacher recently released preliminary data for 2020 indicating that the percentage of chemical abortions had increased to 54% of all abortions. While total abortion numbers have yet to be published for 2020, even in 2022, and this article was in April, I believe, Live Action estimates gross abortion sales based on 2017 totals, finding nearly $300 million in annual abortion pill sales, nearly $200 million annually for first trimester surgical abortions, and using the 100,891 estimate times a cost of $895, we see that second trimester abortions gross the industry a minimum of nearly $100 million, $90,297,445 annually.
This very much reinforces my belief that if you look at any ill of society, you just basically trace the money and you can find why it exists still.
Yeah. The pharmaceutical industry is behind, as we've already seen with Matt Walsh shutting down gender clinics, for example, child gender transitions, or the cosmetics industry for that recent advert they put out with two LGBTQAIP, LMNOP people with beards and dresses on discussing the beauty of girlhood. Well, part of the reason they're doing that is because they've hit their market cap for women buying makeup. They've found a way to peddle insecurities to women to such a degree they've made a multi-billion dollar industry. And then they've gone, right, how do we get new customers? I know, let's market to men and, I suppose they'd use the term queer folk or something.
Alphabet now. People.
Yeah, exactly. The gay mafia. The next one as well. Women who stay... the abortion industry's profits on the abortion pill skyrocket while they are begging for more taxpayer funding. This is despite the Hyde Amendment, but obviously Biden said he's going to overpeel that at some point. And the Hyde Amendment doesn't really work anyway because... basically, it stops subsidies being given directly to abortion. However, taxpayer funds can still be given as part of the Hobby Lobby case, I believe, as well, to Planned Parenthood, and they can offset some of their procedures that they claim are non-abortive procedures in their budget, so then more money goes to abortion. So it's just a slush fund. That's all it is. The Hyde Amendment does nothing. This is why, again, abortion ban on a federal level is probably what's going to end up happening. The consumer cost for abortion pill has skyrocketed by over 13% in recent years, all while the industry has simultaneously eliminated costly and potentially life-saving testing and exams for abortion pill clients. As the amount of money paid by abortion pill clients rises, the abortion industry frequently purchases pills for less than $100, revealing its obvious profit motive, as you said. The ANSIRH-funded report found that between 2017 and 2020, the median patient charges increased for medication abortion from $495 to $560. Today, abortion pill sales make up the majority, 54%, of all abortions in America, while the cost of the abortion pill regimen, mifepristone and misoprostol, apologies, is well under $100 today. So they're just gouging the price and they're overprescribing these things. They're pushing abortion on women in order to make a profit off of your dead children. That's just vile. That's awful. But they're also saying that killing your children or not having any at all are profitable. So this is Business Week Plus Equality article by Bloomberg UK. Women who stay single and don't have kids get richer. Ashley Moreo isn't married and doesn't have kids, and she has a message for women just like her. You can still have it all. No, you can't.
You can't have a family, can you?
No, you can't have it all. She literally, by definition, does not have it all. She's going to have a very lonely 40 years after 40. And
there's,
she's 43
also already. The framing of this is nothing new. Like, having a child costs money. Everyone knows that. It's not really a surprise.
It's so, a worthy sacrifice.
You will be materially better off, but you won't be emotionally better off, would you?
No, there's nothing of the transcendent in your life. You don't you don't have the joy of when your baby girl.
You're just going to be living for yourself.
Yeah, you can't put a price on family, genuinely, or a good one at least. I know people have broken families, but then fashion yourself into the kind of adult that's worthy of being a parent, and then be a parent. The 43-year-old feels a deep sense of satisfaction from her job as a sales representative for a maker of medical devices. Oh, that's funny. Interesting. I wonder which. Which brings her into contact with patients. I love my life and feel very fulfilled, says Marrero, who froze her eggs in 2018 to keep her options open. I love children and I love all my friends' children, but I don't know if I would love my life... I don't know if I love my life with children. So you love children, but you don't want the responsibility of it. It's like looking after someone else's dog but not wanting to pick up the turds. Just get over it. Sorry, there's things more important. Marrero belongs to a growing cohort of women, sadly, who are putting off motherhood and foregoing it entirely. As a result, many are advancing further in their careers than prior generations and entering a new frontier of wealth. Single women without kids had an average of $65,000 in wealth in 2019, compared to $57,000 for single child-free men, according to new research from the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis. For single mothers, the figure was only $7,000. Okay, then don't be a single mother either. Pick a nice fella. Don't be a welfare queen. Don't leech off the taxpayer teat. If you want a stay-at-home, part-time career, there are plenty of little industries that you can do. I know plenty of mums that open their own independent bakeries, for example, and just wander at kids' parties and get a few extra quid. But rather than sending your kid off to childcare or all-day schools where they can be indoctrinated, or rather than having no kids at all and being a worker drone, how about you make some sacrifices, you be an adult and have something more meaningful in your life? Parenthood was losing its appeal even before COVID-19, and the hardship brought on by the pandemic appears to have accelerated the trend. A Pew Research Center study last year found that 44% of Americans aged 18 to 49 who don't have kids say it's not too likely or not likely at all they will procreate, an increase of 7 percentage points from 2018.
That's quite a rapid increase, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a consequence of propaganda. What do you think TikTok exists for? The Chinese are laughing all the way to their sperm bank. There are
To be fair, their population's falling off a cliff themselves from the one-child policy, and they're probably going to see one of the largest population drops in human history.
Yeah, they're having demographic collapse. That's why they're trying to accelerate ours, because they still want to be dominant but not fix most of their own problems. There are other costs to consider with children. Several studies have demonstrated that working women are subject to a, quote, motherhood penalty. Framing motherhood as a punishment, either during pregnancy or after birth. In research prior to the pandemic, Judy Cashin, director for Women's Economic Justice at the Century Foundation, a think tank, pegged, poor choice of words, the size of the penalty at 15% annual income for each child under the age of five, with Black and Latina mothers shouldering a higher burden than their white peers. And they've capitalized white in there, which is quite concerning again. There's the consequence for your earnings of having kids, says Cashin. The whole purpose of women's movement is to maximize choices for women so that every choice is a viable one. Income should not be a thing that dictates that, which is totally right now. You don't have every choice. You can't have it all. You have to make sacrifices. And even the women's magazines, when you go and look at the Evie magazine pieces, from the perspective of women in the 70s who wrote these things, said, we were lying to women to push abortion, the sexual revolution, even when we had family lives ourselves. So don't fall into the trap. And there is a trap, because the New York Times is putting out pieces like this. Maternal instinct is a myth that men created.
That's so obviously not true.
It's the deranged ramblings of a Simone de Beauvoir acolyte. But she genuinely tries to say that Christians did a patriarchal conspiracy to perpetuate women's subordination to men, despite the Industrial Revolution diminishing the differences between them and increasing their equal conscription into the workforce. So it's just the same old timeless, formless, cross-continental patriarchal conspiracy that predates us being able to translate each other's languages and own phones, that somehow every single institution in the world is built to oppress women. And it's such a commonality that it either has to be telepathic or biological. So it's just mad.
I don't know how these people don't get called conspiracy theorists, because it's an absurd conspiracy as well. Like, that just all men just conspired. They're just like, hello, stranger. You're a fellow man. That's more important than, you know, the well-being of my wife and daughters.
Well, you're not coming to the patriarchy meeting on Thursday.
Oh, sorry. I've got other commitments.
Yeah. Well, the pub is an institution that only exists for men to go after work to complain about their wives. Like, we literally have to cope to put up with your nagging sometimes, ladies. We love you. We really do. But we haven't got a coordinated conspiracy. We're just kind of bumbling along as blokes and trying to work out how to live with you. We're not geniuses. We're not. We're just trying to work out how we can put up with each other. Believe me, the notion that selflessness and tenderness that babies require is uniquely ingrained in the biology of women, ready to go at the flip of a switch, is a relatively modern and pernicious one. It was constructed over decades by men selling an image of what a mother should be, diverting our attention from what she actually is and calling it science. It keeps us from talking about what it really means to be a parent, and has emboldened policymakers in the United States generation after generation to refuse new parents, and especially mothers, the support they need. New research on the parental brain makes it clear the idea of a maternal instinct is something innate, automatic, and distinctly female is a myth, one that has stuck despite the best efforts of feminists to debunk it from the moment it entered public discourse.
I'm sorry, but how can you just look at the brain and say, yes, it's a myth? Like, if you're writing stuff off as a neuroscientist, so dismissively, you're not doing your job properly.
Yeah.
I say that as someone who's very familiar with the neuroscientific literature.
Yeah, so the CDC and YouTube should listen up because feminists are denying the science.
Mm-hmm.
And I support the censorship of medical misinformation. The sacredness of home grew as capitalism focused work and politics on individual competition and created a ladder for men's earning potential. The myth of a maternal instinct places a primacy on biological mothers, suggesting the roots to parenthood fall in two categories, natural and other. It sustains outdated ideas about masculinity that teaches fathers they are secondary, assistants, babysitters, and encourages mothers to see them that way too. It undermines the rights and recognition of same-sex couples and transgender and non-binary parents whose ability to care for their children is often questioned. Yeah, Chad, yes. Yeah, yeah. Men should work to provide and protect for their kids. The mums are literally biologically designed to breastfeed for their children, despite what Pete Buttigieg and his husband may have attempted. So, yeah, sorry, you can't outthink biology, I'm afraid. That won't stop the corporate world from trying to do so. If we go to the next one, it's blaming mothers for a shortage of diapers. So it's saying America's facing a diaper crisis and the anti-abortion movement is making it worse. Do you know how? Do you want to guess how they're going to frame this?
By having children in the first place, is it?
Partially. The other one is that crisis pregnancy centres, which give out free baby clothes and nappies, have started putting some of their increasing funds towards anti-abortion protest movements. So they're saying that because you aren't spending all of your money on nappies purely, and instead you're doing it on action to save babies from being killed, which has been successful so far, that you are harming babies.
Is this not just a supply line thing in that the demand is probably going to remain either constant or increase, and the supply has either decreased or remained stagnant?
But it's not just that. It's a hilarious thing to say, you're harming babies by not buying them nappies because you're spending too much money on saving babies. So what? You're better for cracking their skulls in and sucking them out with a vacuum. Disgusting people. I also wanted to just draw the hilarious wokeness in this article. Instead of funneling money into these programs that have been more propaganda than services, we really need to be taking a close look at how we can create infrastructure that supports parenting and supports pregnant people.
Bugger off, not women.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Filled vessels, I'm going to start saying. How woke and inclusive of me. And it's all to bolster the corporate bottom line. This article was just the most hilarious. We'll finish on from Reuters. How Texas' abortion ban hurts Big Oil's effort to transform its workforce. So remember when the fossil fuel industry got us into Iraq and the left hated it? Now, because ExxonMobil has replaced their board members with ESG supporting people and they're trying to make their, and it says in here, gender non-conforming trans people, women and minorities, because they're trying to terraform their entire workforce because supposedly diversity is more profitable. Now Big Oil are on the side of the good guys, and they're on the side of the good guys because they want to kill babies. Right, okay. Oil companies have spent millions to counter the frayed image of fossil fuels and recruit a younger and more diverse workforce. But a flaring of political culture wars around abortion, religion, and LGBT plus rights threaten to undo a hiring and retention goal, according to interviews with more than two dozen workers and a national survey. Over half of women between 18 and 44 years and 45% of college-educated male and female workers would not consider a job in a state that banned abortion, according to a survey of 2020 U.S. adults last month by opinion researcher Perry Undum. BP, Chevron, ExxonMobil, Shell, and Total Energies did not comment on how abortion and cultural wars are affecting their hiring employee retention when asked by Reuters, but they do cover medical transport costs between states. It doesn't explicitly say abortion, but we do know that things like Blizzard, Bungie, of all people, I can't believe I used to play Destiny, said that it would pay to transport its employees to another state if they wanted an abortion, if it was banned where they work.
It's also an absurd notion that these companies that pay ridiculous money are going to somehow struggle to find workers.
Yeah.
Like, really?
Yeah, but they don't want workers if you're a white man with actual qualifications.
Of course.
Here's a message to you ladies. Have a family. Get out the floodlit working pod. Do something more meaningful than count ESG points from ExxonMobil. And don't trust big business when it says kill your babies for our bottom line.
If you appreciated that segment from the podcast of the Lotus Eaters, you can go to lotuseaters.com to get access to all the premium content we have on site, such as the articles we published, this one from Carl on The Echo in the Void. If you'd like to find out what else Carl's putting out, you can follow him on Getter at Carl Benjamin on Getter. Thank you and goodbye.
My fellow Americans, this July, we're celebrating America's birthday at Moda Casino by giving away $1,776,000 in prize. And one lucky winner is going to take home $1 million SC. Happy 250th birthday, America. You're welcome. Download Moto Casino today.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.